much more dry than people.
As a matter of fact, I've got some Ritzina now, but I don't know whether you want Ritzina with gin and tonic. Next time you can have some Ritzina.
I was drinking some Ouzo with a friend the other evening.
We have Ouzo too. Uh-huh. I've got a regular bar in there.
Of course, I should have thought to ask for Ouzo.
Yeah, well, I could have given you Ouzo, too. I've got that, too. And most people do not like Ouzo or Ritzina. Mm-hmm. I guess between the two, if they had to pick one, they'd probably pick Ouzo. Very few people I've run into like Ritzina, other than the Greeks.
Yeah, a wine that most people would like, I think, is Domestica.
Domestica, yes. And we serve a lot of that at the festival. Yeah.
But even that has quite an unusual taste.
Mm-hmm, it does. Yeah.
Customary wines.
Yeah, it does. Well, we sell an awful lot of it. Many, many hundreds of cases.
Uh-huh.
We sell a lot of it.
Is that stocked normally here? Do you have a special order?
No, we get it from the wholesaler here. Mm-hmm. We don't usually have to bring anything in from outside. We do all of our ordering here for all the wines and beers. Now, we do get beer. I think we get beer from out of town. It's called Amstel beer. It's not even a Greek beer, though, is it? I think it is Dutch, Amstel. Yeah, it's Dutch. And we sell a good amount of beer, too. I think that we plan on having a Greek beer this year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to check with the beverage chairman and see what he's done. Mm-hmm. What I've done, we have different committees set up, mm-hmm. and each one is responsible for setting up their committees.
What are the various committees?
Well, your entertainment committee, your food committee, your pastry committee. Your booth committee, because we have several booths. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a copy of it tonight if you like. I just wrote a letter to everyone in the community and sent it out. I got a copy of it in the mail today, giving everyone in the community an update on how the festival is going. We've tried to have festival meetings about once a month, but you know how meetings are. We usually get a turnout of about 25, 30, 40 people, mm-hmm. out of a possible 200 or 300. And a lot of people want to work for the festival. They're not interested in coming down to the meetings and hearing everything that goes on. So I'll send them out like a little newsletter. Uh-huh. So I'll give you a copy of it tonight and take it, just to get an idea of what's going on. But everyone is pretty well, you know, been assigned something to do, providing they want to help. You know, there's some that might not want to help. Mm-hmm. But most everybody does come through and help. Mm-hmm. They might not want to get on the committee right now, but the day of the festival, they'll be there and they'll give the helping hand. And it's not only my age group. It's younger than me and people a lot older than me. And then your young kids help, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the 8 and 10 and 12-year-olds, they all help. Mm-hmm. They all pitch in, and they're so proud of it when it's over. Yeah. My son, he just looks forward to the Greek festival every year, just like it's Christmas coming. Uh-huh. He really looks forward to it. And he insists on taking at least one day off of school, because we open up on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And I usually let him take Friday off of school.
Uh-huh.
And he comes down and he goes right to work. And of course, this year, the kids have learned some new ethnic dances, traditional dances. And we have a group that will be dancing at the festival this year. They'll be wearing costumes and they'll be dancing. So that's something special for them. And of course, the public enjoys watching that too, you know.
Who teaches the dances?
Well, the new dances that they learned this year were taught down at this camp I was telling you about that Chris went to, mm-hmm. in Brooksville. They had a session early in the summer where I think about a dozen kids from here went down to the session. They stayed a week, and they had a group from Tarpon Springs that came up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've heard of Tarpon Springs.
Yeah, sure.
That's practically all Greek down there. And the group from Tarpon came up, and they taught them all the ethnic dances.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be dancing at our festival this year. Mm-hmm. So you'll see them at that time, too.
What are the principal cities in Florida in terms of Greek population?
Of course, Tarpon Springs has a very... That whole area, Tarpon Springs, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Tampa area,
mm-hmm.
is heavily populated with Greeks. Then, of course, Miami,
mm-hmm.
Jacksonville. Jacksonville is probably about maybe fourth or fifth largest parish in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are altogether about 12 or 15 Orthodox churches in the state of Florida.
Uh-huh.
There might be more. As a matter of fact, I've got a yearbook there that would give me the exact amount,
mm-hmm.
but probably 12 or 15 mm-hmm. in the state. And your heaviest concentration, of course, is downstate,
yeah.
around the Tarpon area.
Uh-huh. Is there much contact between the communities?
There's some. There's not a whole lot. Uh-huh. Not a whole lot. Now, we do have some that come from some of the other parishes for the festival. But our festival mainly caters to the people of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. You know, if it wasn't for them, we couldn't have a festival.
Yeah.
Because we've estimated over that three-day period that we're open, we probably get 15, 20,000 people coming through mm-hmm. within that three-day period. Mm. And it's always mobbed. You know, sometimes they've even made us turn some people away because it got so crowded in there, which is good for us.
Sure.
We enjoyed that, too.
Sign of success?
Yeah, a sign of success.
Are there other ethnic groups in Jacksonville that have similar sorts of things?
Yes, the Syrian Orthodox Church had one too.
Uh-huh.
Now, for many, many years, there was not a Syrian Orthodox Church here. And the Syrian Orthodox Church is just like the Greek Church. It's the Orthodox Church, except they're Syrians and we're Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
They started their own festival, but not at the magnitude that ours has. It's not caught on quite as well as the Greek festival has.
Uh-huh.
And they have their festival, I think, usually around November.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have theirs at the Civic Auditorium. And then, of course, you were not here at the 4th of July, but the 4th of July, there's a big city-wide ethnic festival.
Hmm.
You would have loved that.
Hmm.
That is down, that was, this year they had it down at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
And they were all ethnic groups. Italians, Greeks, Arabs, Jews, Poles, Chinese, Korean. The whole auditorium was filled, the whole Coliseum rather,
uh-huh.
was filled with ethnic groups and ethnic foods, ethnic dances. And, you know, it was nice. We all enjoyed it. We had a little bit of everybody's food to eat.
Yeah,
you know,
that sounds really nice.
So that's always held on the 4th of July, on that actual day, 4th of July. And that's a money-raising event also.
Mm-hmm. Is there one person or a committee in charge of that?
You mean locally?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not sure who it's sponsored by. I think it's sponsored by the city, but I'm not certain of that.
Mm-hmm.
But each church, of course, has their own committee that's responsible for planning for their individual churches.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be sponsored by the Bicentennial. I'm not certain who it's sponsored by.
Well, perhaps if I call the mayor's office, I could contact
them. Oh, yes, they could tell you. Surely they could tell you that. Yeah. Talking about the mayor, he usually always comes to our festival.
Yeah.
Usually comes on Saturday night and brings his entourage with him. And we have a table reserved for him, and he has a big old time. He didn't come last year. He had a commitment out of town.
Uh-huh.
But he promises to be there this year.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Good for him, too.
Yeah, he enjoys it. And, of course, the mayor of Jacksonville is a Jacksonville man. He's born and raised here. As a matter of fact, he went to high school with my wife.
Okay.
Yeah. And they live near each other over in Springfield area.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows a lot of the Greek people here, so he enjoys coming to them. Of course, you know, politically it's good for him to attend everything he can.
Oh, absolutely.
The Greek festival, Jewish festival, whatever.
Especially if there's a big crowd there.
That's right, that's right. And so far, Alice has had the largest crowd.
Mm.
So. The others will come along later.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this very public event, this festival. And can you tell me more about the non-public or the sort of the Greek-only activities throughout the rest of the year?
Okay, the other activities that we probably have during the year that we sponsor at our church, we usually, once a year, I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you this in chronological order or not, but... Usually once a year, usually around the summertime, the parish, we refer to it as a parish rather than church, or the parish, will honor the choir members, the altar boys, the cantors of the church. Everyone who's associated with the church will honor them, say, with a dinner and present them plaques once a year. We'll honor the mothers once a year. We usually have a Mother's Day banquet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we never have a Father's Day banquet. We always have a Mother's Day banquet. We honor the mothers once a year. Just recently, we honored, you know what a cantor is?
Yes.
Okay, we honored the cantor of our church who's been with our church in excess of 50 years. He's 95 or 96 years old, still going strong, but he figured it's time for him to retire. So he retired, and we had a big dinner for him. Last November, we had a mortgage burning affair. Church was paid off. We had a mortgage burning affair at the, what's the name of that place? At the Gulf Life. Of course, you probably know what the Gulf Life is, Gulf Life Insurance.
Yeah.
The tower's there. That was a big event for us. Always we have an ethnic 25th of March celebration, which I explained to you earlier, when the Greeks were freed from the Turks.
Yes.
That's a big day. We usually have a celebration at that time. Usually, if anybody can think of a good reason to have something, we'll have it. There's something going on at the church, you know, very regularly, very regularly. We have also been sponsoring activities in the church for outside groups, honoring outside groups. Some of the Christian Jews, so Brotherhood of Christian Jews, we honor them at a luncheon. Father, our priest here, Father Christopoulos, who's very active in the community. Now, that has a lot to do with it, with your priest. If you have a very active priest within the community himself, then, of course, that brings more things into the church. So he has entertained a lot of people at our church, either with the service or Vespa service or some type of service, and with a luncheon or a breakfast or something. There's always something going on at the church. I'm not certain what the last thing we had was. Oh, at Easter time, we have the traditional lamb and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And we have midnight services at Easter, which is a resurrection service. It starts at midnight. Got my pretzel someplace. And then we come down to the church hall afterwards and we have dinner, you know, together at 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And then the next day, always on Easter Sunday, which doesn't always fall on the same date of your American Easter. You know, we follow the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
So our Easters fall together only, I think, once every 4 years, 3 or 4 years. I think there's a movement now with the Patriarch and with the Archdiocese to try to bring our Easter at the same time as your American Easter. But I don't know if that's you know, come about yet.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we have an Easter picnic every year that we invite all of our friends to. And everybody comes to the picnic. Everybody brings something. And that's usually held outdoors. So we had the Easter picnic this year. We had that at the University of North Florida campus.
Mm-hmm.
We've had it there for the last 2 years. So that was fun. There's always a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be sure to invite you to some of our fairs sometime, other than the festival.
That.
Yeah. Even introduce you to a nice Greek girl.
Never know. Now that's something we can talk about for a minute, something you alluded to before, the whole aspect of Greeks marrying outside of their ethnic group. How is that regarded, and what effect does that have on the community?
Well, it probably has, if anything, a good effect on the community. It's brought a lot of people into the church. A lot of non-Greeks, I'd say probably most of them, have converted to Orthodoxy.
Mm-hmm.
We have catechism classes once a week, and they go to catechism class, I think, for 6, 7, 8, 10 weeks, whatever it is. And then they're brought into the church. They're baptized into the church, and they become Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, this last 2 Sundays ago, we had 4 Cambodians. That's odd, isn't it? But let me back up a little bit. We hired a Cambodian and his wife and his family. We hired a Cambodian and his wife and their 4 children and as the sexton of the church, the caretaker of the church.
Mm-hmm.
We sponsored them. We gave them a place to live. We have a home right next to the church. And they've been with us, I think, 2 or 3 years now. Of course, the children were small when they first came. They've gotten a little bit bigger. And they've just started coming to the Greek church every Sunday because they live right there. Well, they're not going to go to a Buddhist temple. We don't have Buddhist temples in Jacksonville. So they've become Orthodox. And all the Sunday school teachers of these 4 kids became their sponsors. So they're Orthodox now. The parents have not become Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been an awful lot of new blood brought into the church.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of your interfaith marriages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I personally prefer being married to a Greek.
Yes.
It's a lot easier.
Certainly.
It's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
But out of the five brothers in my family, only two of us married Greeks. All the others, you know, married non-Greeks. Mm-hmm. It just makes it a lot easier to begin with, you know.
Yeah. Tell me the differences between your first generation American Greek experience and your children's.
Oh, there's quite a difference. Sure, that's quite a difference. Because, you know, we are all first generation. Because our parents, my wife's parents and my parents, are all from the old country. We were brought up as first generation. We were brought up Greek in the home, and like we talked about before, Greek food and the Greek language. Of course, when we married, and we had children of our own, there's still some Greek spoken in the home, but it's by no means your first language,
Yes. You
know. The Greek schools, like we talked about before, the Greek schools are not quite as prevalent here down south as they are up north. Our daughter went to Greek school for maybe 2 or 3 years. She understands Greek, but she doesn't speak Greek. You know, she has nothing to do with it. And something that, of course, this conversation is between you and I anyway, and it's not going to be a public conversation.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Not without.
And I shouldn't say this, but, you know, it's kind of been a sore spot with me. And that's something I got to live with. My daughter married a Jewish boy. And I'm not too happy about it, you know. I would prefer if she married a Greek boy, naturally. But I knew that wasn't going to happen. But for Christ's sake, marry a Christian. I wanted her to marry a Christian. And she didn't. But she's happily married. You know, it's important to her that she be happy. But getting back to, you know, keeping the ethnic background. Of course, she's married an ethnic person, but he happens to be Jewish. Mm-hmm. But she lives in Fort Lauderdale, but as a result, she doesn't go to church. Because as far as our church is concerned, she's no longer in good standing with that church. Because she married outside of the church.
Yes.
She married a non-Christian.
Yes.
Had she married a Baptist or Methodist or whatever, that'd have been all right. But marrying a Jew, it just didn't sit too well with the church or with her mother or I. But we've accepted it. You know, we gave her a good, nice wedding. We could not give her a Christian wedding. We could not give her a church wedding. So consequently, we had a nice wedding down at the Gulf Life Towers, and a friend of ours who is a judge here locally, he married them for us. So the marriage ceremony and the reception all took place at the same place at the Gulf Life. And it's been a little bit difficult, I think. I think there's been a little bit of, tension there, because our daughter knew how opposed we were to this marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he knew it too, and he's a nice fella, you know, but it just wasn't the way we had imagined it would be. But they're happy. They live down Fort Lauderdale, Pompano area. They're happy. They bought a home. They're both in the mortgage broker's business.
Oh, yes.
My daughter graduated from the University of Florida with a degree in teaching. She couldn't get a job here teaching because at the time there's an excess of teachers. So she moved down to Fort Lauderdale. Of course, knew Scott from before, and then the relationship continued and blossomed, and they got married. Of course, they've been there married about a year and a half now. But our son is completely opposite. He is so strong in his faith, so strong in his church, and he's an altar boy in the church. But there again, you have to go back. I don't know whether you have to go back or not, but we relate this to the priest that you've got at the time. The time that my daughter was growing up, we had a priest that was a hard-nosed priest, you know. He wasn't all youth-oriented and that type of thing. He was a hardliner. Performed the services every Sunday. You went to church, this, that, and the other. But he did not have good contact with the youth. Whereas the priest we have now is just great with everyone, the youth. Well, he's young himself. He's only 36, 37 years old. The other fellow we had was in his 60s. Not that that's old. But And Chris has become so active in the church. And that just pleases us to death, you know. It's very important to him. And, of course, having gone down to this church camp that he goes to, this is his fifth year or sixth year, I believe. It's really blossomed him out as far as the church is concerned. As a matter of fact, he knows more about the church than I do. Because, you know, they have classes and everything.
Sure, it's fresher to him.
Yes, it's fresh to him. When we were growing up, we just accepted everything the way it was. You know, when we were growing up, we didn't have college professors teaching Greek school and that type of thing. You know, we learned what we learned from our parents.
Yes.
You know, and usually the priest was an old man, 75 years old, 100 years old, ready to die. But we accepted the way it was. Today there's a lot of questions to ask, aren't there? Youth ask questions.
Yeah.
Fortunately, today we're able to answer these questions for them. Or the church is able to answer these questions for them. So, and I feel that Chris will stay in his church, and you'll probably meet him. He'll be here before too long. He'll be about nine or so. I'd like for you to meet him.
Sure.
And he's really, really strong in his church, very strong, and we like that. Mm-hmm. Our daughter's not. Hopefully someday she'll come back to the church,
mm-hmm.
but the church will never accept her.
Yes.
Unless, of course, her husband converts to Christianity, which mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen.
Uh-huh. Well, how important is the language to the maintenance of the ethnic identity, do you think?
I personally think the language is very important.
Mm-hmm.
My son could speak no Greek at all, you know, just little words, grandmother and granddaddy and certain foods and that type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden he's had a rude awakening. We have some friends that have moved, several families that have moved here from Greece, and their kids are Chris's age. And, you know, Europeans love soccer, and they're very active in soccer. Mm-hmm. Consequently, Chris got very active in soccer. We have a family that lives right around the corner from us, the Tadroses. They're from Greece. And they've got one son a year older than Chris and one son a year younger. And they speak Greek better than I do, you know, because they're from there. They're born and raised in Greece. So consequently, through Chris's association with them, he's become very interested in learning the language.
Yep.
And he's insisted that we speak more Greek to him, which we do.
Uh-huh.
And he's gotten to the point where he can carry on a very, very limited conversation,
mm-hmm.
but he understands a lot of it. Whereas my daughter understood all of it. Because my mother-in-law took care of her. You know, while Catherine taught school, my mother-in-law took care of Elaine. Elaine is her name, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So with her broken English, she spoke all Greek to my daughter. So she understood everything. But she just drifted away from it. And not living here, of course, she drifted even further away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way where we are with our kids. I would say most of you kids are Chris's age and younger, older. They're interested in the church. They're interested in perpetuating the church and perpetuating the culture. But as far as the language is concerned, it's I would probably 50 years from now, there'd be very little Greek spoken. When my generation goes, Chris will know something, but Chris is certainly not going to be able to ever communicate in Greek the way we do today.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe 50, 75 years from now, maybe the Greek, unless more and more Greeks come from Greece and continue it. I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of Greek left around in the churches.
It's such a very central aspect of any culture.
Yes.
In the United States, where it's so overwhelmingly English, it's
that's
a very
right.
difficult thing
that's
to
right.
retain.
That's right. And it's sad, of course. This is the United States. I mean, English is our first language, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still nice to maintain the other. You know, it's and I'm hoping we won't lose it, but I foresee where we will lose it eventually. Of course. There's more and more English brought into the church now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, our church services were always exclusively Greek. Now a lot of it's in English because we have to cater to the non-speaking Greeks. And there are certain communities that have all English in the church. So I guess the church itself has contributed to some of this. You know, surely they have. And I'm not going to say it's for the better or for the worse. It's just that it's got to be done that way to keep our youth in the church. Because like when Elaine was growing up, there's a lot more Greek in church than it is now. And she constantly complained, you know, but why is it always in Greek? You know, we live in America. Why do we have to speak Greek in the church?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they had a point. I personally prefer the Greek. The Greek, to me, it's more mystifying. It's it has a lot more meaning to it. When you take a language that you know so well and try to translate it into English, it loses something. It loses some of its authenticity. It loses meaning. But I know it's there, and I've got to accept it, you know, whether I like it or not. Another thing that we've started going into that is not coming off too well with a lot of us, me included, is we've started having congregational singing in the church. Whereas we have such beautiful choirs in our church. And this is not to say that the choirs are going to be let out the pasture or anything, but every, like a couple of Sundays a month now, all the responses are done. See, the responses to everything the priest says are responses back usually from the choir.
Mm-hmm.
Now the responses are coming back from the congregation. And it's not that I'm opposed to congregational singing as much as if the choir would sing constantly and let if you want to respond with the choir, that's fine, but I'm not doing, I don't want to do away with the choirs by any means. Mm-hmm. But so that's another dilemma that some of us are facing.
Yes.
I guess in many ways I'm of the old school, mm-hmm. you know, and I got to get with it.
I'm wondering too if there are, we've talked about food and language. I'm wondering if there are other elements of Greek traditions that are still carried on in this area, like music, storytelling, maybe in Greek or other.
Any storytelling that you're going to hear in Greek is strictly going to be from the yayas and the papus, the grandparents, mm-hmm. you know. And unfortunately, a lot of the grandparents are gone now.
Yes.
So there's really no Greek storytelling that I can tell my children, except things that happened to me as a child with my parents. Mm-hmm. But as far as authentic Greek storytelling, I would say there's not a whole lot of that right now, uh-huh. except for those kids who have moved to this country with their parents from Greece, who can relate some of the storytelling to them. I had no stories really to tell my children because I was born and raised here.
Yeah. Are there objects or things that people use in the home that are particularly Greek?
Oh yes. We have icons. I'll take you back and show you. We have icons in our bedrooms, and we have Greek statues. Or what do I have Greek in here right now? I've got everything but Greek in here. There's usually when you go into a Greek home, you know it. I'll show you some items in the back that we have. Storytelling, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of that right now that I can think of. And storytelling is very important in your field, isn't it?
Well, it's something that people use to give them a sense of where they are in uh-huh. the community.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's why I ask about that.
Yeah. Oh, of course, I remember a lot of stories. I can't think of any offhand, but stories that my mother and father always related to me that happened to them as children mm-hmm. in the old country. Mm-hmm. And then we would relate some stories like that, you know, to our children to a point.
Yeah.
I would say not a whole lot of it mm-hmm. at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just about finished my questions. I'm just wondering if there's anything you'd like to add that I may not have asked you about that you'd like to tell me.
My wife told me some things that I could discuss with you, but it's about the festival. I think we pretty well covered the festival. We've pretty well covered the church. What else could I add? I really don't know what else I could add. There are other people around in the community could probably add a lot more than I can think of it offhand. Some of the people that have come from Greece. Could probably enlighten you. I'd be glad to, you know, may introduce you to some people.
Who would you recommend?
I have a couple of friends here locally that probably would be very interesting to talk to. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in talking to someone from the old country?
Yes. Sure.
Who's coming to this area? Well, I have a couple of friends that I could arrange an interview for you.
Sure, that would be fun.
One in particular, this lady that lives in this neighborhood, uh-huh. Mrs. Tadros. Mm-hmm. She's in Greece right now. She goes every year, and she's due back tonight, as a matter of fact, at midnight. So, I can arrange an interview that you can possibly talk to her, and she can probably tell you a multitude of things that I didn't even think of asking, uh-huh. of telling you.
I have an appointment to see Harriet Peps on Monday as well.
Okay. Now, Harriet is our religious mm-hmm. school teacher, and she's in charge of religious education at the church. She's our youth director and that type of thing. Harriet, of course, is American born, as I am. And she's a very knowledgeable girl. She's a graduate of the Hellenic College. Of course, we do not have female priests, but she's the closest thing uh-huh. to a female priest. Have you met her?
No, I